Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Well, we're going to dig into God's Word. We're in this sermon series. Take your Bible out. We're going to say it together. Take your Bible, take your phone, wherever you have your Bible. Believe this with your whole heart. If you don't believe it, don't say it. Here we go. This is my Bible. It's the very Word of God. Every word in this book is true. Inside this book is the very direction for my life, and I choose to follow it. This is my Bible, and I love it. Amen. Get your Bibles out. We're going to go to Matthew 14, 1 through 23. Today, we're continuing in our tension series. Pastor Cherie kicked it off in such a great way. I told Paula this morning, I go, I feel like I forgot how to preach. It's been a while. But I haven't, I promise you. All right. I might go long because I have so much to say, but we're going to keep moving, okay? We're continuing in our tension series, and here's what this looks like. In life, two things can be true at the same time, and that's what creates the tension. When this happens in life, what do? And it still happens today. I'll give you an example. When we lose a loved one, we grieve and we feel it. It can hurt. It can shake us to our core. But at the same time, we know that our loved one, if they knew Jesus, we're going to see them again. And we can have hope. We can have a future. So you see, those two things, our grief and what we're walking through and knowing that God has everything under control, can happen at the same time. Another example of this is there will be bad things that happen in life. But at the same time, we know that God can hold, that we can hold on to the truth that God is good and we can trust him. Talk about tension. How do you handle those moments? Do you just give up and give into the human emotions that you're feeling? Or do you hold on to the promises of God in spite of what you're feeling and what you're experiencing? Do you keep working and keep moving forward? Or do you stop and fall apart and let human emotions overcome you? We're going to be faced with situations like this. How do we walk through those tension times in life? The tension is this. What are you going to give into? And what do you do? How do you keep moving forward without giving up, especially when the tension is intense? And here's what I want to speak to us about today. We're going to talk about loss and grief. We're going to really dig into that. And listen, sometimes we think, well, loss and grief happens when we lose somebody, but there can be a lot of different things that happen in life that cause us loss and grief. How about the loss of a dream? How about the loss of a marriage? How about the loss of a job? How about the loss? I don't know what it is. And here's what happens with loss and grief. If you do not walk through these moments right, it's so easy to give up and give in. How you walk through these moments is so important. And we are going to look at a very interesting portion of Scripture today where Jesus had to walk through loss and grief. He was the model of how we do it. Now, I want us to remember, I'm going to say this multiple times throughout the message. You've got to read Scripture from the lens of human emotion. You've got to look at it from what a person might have been feeling like as Scripture was happening. Because it's only then that you understand that Jesus modeled what it looked like to walk through grief and loss and not give up. Jesus showed us. And some of you might be sitting here thinking, well, of course Jesus. He was Jesus. Of course he did it. Of course. Jesus was 100% God, but he was also 100% man. He knows what it feels like to experience loss and grief. I would submit to you, there were times where the loss and the grief were so intense, it could have been so easy for him to give up, and he models what to do. And we're going to look at one of those times in Scripture today. And I want to tell you, I've read this a lot of times as a pastor, and I've never put it together quite in this way, and looking at it from this kind of lens. Some people wonder, does Jesus understand what it feels like to walk through loss and grief and death? And I want to tell you, he understands 110%. That's why Scripture can tell us that he's close to the brokenhearted and crushed in spirit. That's why Scripture can say that Jesus wept when Lazarus died. That's why when we look at today's portion of Scripture, we're going to look and explore one of the most powerful and deeply human moments in the ministry of Jesus as recorded in Matthew 14, 1 through 23. In this passage, we witness a contrast that reveals something profoundly significant about Jesus' heart for us and how he responds to the pain, the grief, and all the needs that we have as we experience grief. Jesus gives us such a great example in Matthew 14, 1 through 23 of how we work through these moments. Last week, Pastor Sheree started out and she dug in the fact that Jesus was 100% God and 100% human and really dug in and showed us what that looked like. You have to remember that. He would have felt the same things we feel. He would have walked through the same. He would be tired and exhausted. He would be in these moments where he would literally, I'm sure the exhaustion would have been so much, he would have wanted to give up. And here's what the Lord was saying to me in worship. There are some of you that you've experienced so much loss, so much pain, so that you've given up, that you're just sitting there. And God is saying, it's time to come out of that prison of pain and loss and grief. It's time for a new moment and a new day in your life, but only you can walk out of it. You got to stop giving up and say, God, okay, it's my time to be healed. Just like Jesus did when he walked through this challenging moment. Jesus, again, I want to say it, he dealt with the same feelings and the emotions that we all deal with. You'll hear me say that multiple times today, and I'm not just repeating myself, but we forget about it when we read this scripture. Understand, he has the same emotions that we have. He would have felt the same things that we feel. I can tell you, many times the enemy is going to use difficult and challenging times to sideline us and to stop us from accomplishing God's plan that he has for our lives and making an impact for the kingdom. The bigger God's plans are for your life, the more aware you need to be of the times that the enemy tries to create great tension. Be on guard and refuse to give up. Refuse to quit. All you need to do is keep moving. Keep moving. Don't let the enemy hold you back, even in the most difficult and painful moments of your life. Jesus was our model. Don't let anything cause you to give up. When you want to give up, don't. When tension comes, hold on to God's promises and the promises he's given you personally. Even when things look bad, remember, you have to go with what you know, not what you see. And I want to tell you this too. We live in a world where they say, oh, just do whatever feels good and live by your feelings. Living by your feelings is a roller coaster. One day you're up, one day you're down. One thing can cause you to completely go off track. Listen, your feelings is not what you live by. God is who you, what you know about God is how you know and what you live by. Jesus was our model of how to overcome, to keep moving forward, even when we give up. Jesus had to hold on to God, and he received his strength from him, especially in the greatest times of tension. If you try to do it on your own, your strength is not enough. You need God's strength. If you try to mourn and grieve on your own, this loss that you've experienced, you're not going to make it. You got to plug into God and say, God, you carry me. God, you help me through these moments of loss and difficulties. And guys, I'm talking painful moments. I'm talking when our dreams that we've held on to all of a sudden are gone. When the things that we've put in our life, that and Pastor Avey said it well, sometimes they become the idols in our life that we hold on to. And God says, listen, I got to take them from you. Anytime we experience loss and grieving, what are we going to do? In Matthew 14, 1 through 23, we see this gap really play out. There's a couple of moments of tension that Jesus faced. These moments would have been very difficult. It would have been easy for him to give up. First, the first moment was when John the Baptist was killed. He was killed in a horrendous death. When you think about this and you read about it, like, I mean, really grasp what was saying, what the Bible is saying. Jesus had just learned when we come in this chapter, John the Baptist was murdered, his head on a platter. Then we read that Jesus comes along and he hears about this. The disciples tell Jesus that John was just murdered. I want to tell you something, guys. This would have probably rocked Jesus to the core. His best friend, his cousin, the man that he had known since he was, John the Baptist was 6 months older than Jesus. They were roommates in some ways because the moms, I mean, they had to have been buddies. They had to have been close. John the Baptist would be the forerunner that would go before Jesus. He would begin the ministry on earth. He would be Jesus's ministry partner. He'd be the one that would baptize him. The feeling that Jesus must have felt at that moment when he heard that probably one of the closest people in his life was murdered. How do you walk past a moment like that? As you're sitting there and you look at it and you go, what would have Jesus, and I can only guess what Jesus had been feeling, but I promise you this, he would have felt what we feel like. The connection was deep. His death would have been so painful for Jesus. Have you ever looked at the story in that kind of a lens? I haven't. Matthew 14, 13, we see that when Jesus heard this, he tried to get away by himself. And Jesus, deeply affected by the loss of John, seeks to withdraw and seeks to grieve. But amid his sorrow, something remarkable happens. The crowds, unaware of his grief, come to him seeking healing and help. Matthew 14, 13 tells us, as soon as Jesus heard the news, he left in a boat to a remote area to be alone. That's what tells me this had to have been emotional. Because as soon as he heard it, he's like, I got to go. I got to get out of here. I've got to experience. I got to walk through this. Matthew 14, 13 tells us, as soon as Jesus heard the news, he left in a boat to a remote area to be alone. But the crowds heard where he was headed and followed him on foot from many towns. He was trying to get away, and all these people were following him. And here's the gap. There was a gap that happened between Jesus' mourning and the ministry that had to take place. Jesus' mourning and the calling that was upon his life. I'm positive that Jesus was trying to get away to deal with this and to process through it. Knowing that Jesus was human, there was just a moment where he said, God, I just don't, you know, I need you. I need your help. That tension between the mourning and the ministry. People followed Jesus. There was not going to be a moment to stop right then and process what had happened. He had to keep working and moving forward in the gap. What was the gap? Jesus' humanity was crying out to mourn. There are times that our humanity is crying out for one thing. Jesus was longing for the quietness and just that connection with God to grieve the loss of John. But God leads us to do something completely different for his kingdom. Jesus met with the people who were desperate to experience salvation. Your calling doesn't stop just because you're mourning and just because you're walking through loss. You can't quit. You can't give up. Even when the loss is so challenging. The gap was between mourning and ministry. Jesus obediently followed God's kingdom plan. Matthew 13, 14 tells us, Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Do you understand? When Jesus needed compassion the most, probably, he turned around and he gave it to other people. Literally, your healing from loss, your healing for grief will start to happen when you turn around and you start to bless others. If you sit in it and you go into complete isolation, it becomes a prison. You might go, well, Pastor, of course Jesus had a ministry. He was Jesus. You have a ministry. You have a calling upon your life. And some of you, because you're grieving the loss of a dream, you're grieving the loss of something that you had in your mind, the enemy has been able to sidetrack you when God is saying, get up, it's time to go do something for the kingdom. Get up, it's time to change other people's lives with your story. Get up, it's time to walk out of this darkness and walk out of this grieving and experience a new light. You with me? How does Jesus respond? And how he responded in this gap of his personal mourning and the needs of the crowd. How does he navigate all of this? How does he show us what it looks like? Jesus modeled it so well for us. So how should we respond? How do we mourn and grieve whenever we experience loss in our lives? And some of us, we haven't really thought about it in those kind of terms. Maybe you've experienced loss and you're grieving and you haven't been able to word to that till very right now. And you're looking at it and you're going, yeah, that is loss. I have been grieving that. Maybe it's a dream that you had of a family that never just worked out. Maybe it's this thing of like what you view that you'd be doing right now and you're not doing that. Because God has you exactly where he wants you. Maybe you haven't ever thought of it in terms that you've been grieving and that you've been experiencing mourning, and it's time to walk out of that. And Jesus showed us what it looked like. That's where this tension lies of how do we grieve and how do we walk out of it? Do we give up or do we keep going? Look at 1 Thessalonians 4:13. I think this is so important. It says this, and now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died, which that was that idea of believers. They would go to heaven. We'd see them in eternity, all right? So you will not grieve like people who have no hope. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. I want to expand this past the idea of death. I want to expand this to the idea of anything that you're grieving, anything that you have lost. Listen, we will not grieve like people who have no hope. You have hope. You have a future. It doesn't matter what you've walked through. Your past does not define your future. Stop grieving like the world does. They have no hope. You have a hope. You have a future. And Jesus modeled this. There's a hope. There's a future. It doesn't matter if he changes your job. God's got a better one for you, so walk it out. I promise you, God will not take something away without restoring it fully in a different way that's even better for you. We don't grieve like the world. We don't grieve like people who have no hope. That means when we grieve different as believers. We don't go into months of depression. We don't pull back. In fact, I want to tell you, anytime you're grieving and walking through loss, I challenge you, say, God, what do you want me to do with this? How do I need to turn this around and minister to other people? How do I use this in my calling? Lord, what do I do? And it takes a lot for us to do it. Jesus modeled it. So Jesus showed us in these times what it looked like. So point number one, Jesus showed us the gap between grieving and ministry. The first part of this passage speaks to a very human experience, a deep, painful grief. Listen, if you are experiencing deep pain and deep grief, Jesus knows what it feels like. So go to him. The enemy would love to convince you that God doesn't care, that God doesn't understand, that God doesn't know. I promise you, Jesus knows. Because look at even what he felt with John the Baptist. Jesus knows. How many times have you heard that in your ear? If you're grieving, well, the enemy sits there and goes, well, God must not care. God must not, like, look at this. Look at what the enemy, look at what God did. God did not do it. You need him the most in these moments. Jesus did never question God. He said, okay, I got to go and I got to do this. The gap between grieving and ministry. John's death was more the loss of just a friend or a relative. It's a key figure in God's plan. I'm sure in Jesus' mind, if he would have let it go there, he's like, well, man, who am I going to do ministry with now? This changes my whole life. Like, how is this all going to... I don't think he ever went there. He just said, okay, God, here's my feelings, and now I got to get busy, and I've got to go minister to this crowd. You might go, well, I'm not Jesus, but I'll tell you what, God has people he wants you to minister to. There's people in your life that need you, and you got to come out of this grave that the enemy's had you in. Jesus, knowing the weight of the loss, he did seek a place of solitude. The text says that Jesus withdrew by that boat to be alone by himself. It's a reminder that Jesus, though fully God, was also fully human. He felt lost just like we did. He knew sorrow just as we do. Jesus did not simply rush through the grief, but he tried to withdraw to process it. And yet, even as he sought the solitude, the crowds followed. They had heard about the healer, the teacher, the one who would perform miracles. They came to him seeking his help, unaware of the personal pain he was enduring. Don't get mad when people don't know what you're going through, but they need you. You guys are so quiet today. I just can't believe that they would ask me to do this, even in the position I'm in. Even the loss I've had, and these people still want me to give more. Those are all lies of the enemy, you know it. And your family might need you the most. Maybe that's who God's calling you to minister to that you've withdrawn from because of the loss. These people came, they knew they needed a healer. They came to him seeking his help, unaware of the personal pain he was enduring. And here in this space, we see Jesus standing in the gap between his sorrow and his calling. Standing there saying, God, if you can use me, do it. God, if you can use my story, do it. And of course, I'm putting a human perspective on this right now, but I think we have to understand it. We have to understand it from our perspective. Point number two, Jesus had compassion in the gap. Friends, it's not all about us. And so many times it can become all about us and we forget that through our pain and through our loss and through our grieving, we can turn around and bless somebody else. He had compassion on them. He healed their sick. And the gap between his mourning and their need, Jesus' heart was filled with compassion. I promise you, when you take your eyes off your own situation, you start putting them on others, it changes everything. And I know for a fact there are some people in this room, you've experienced heavy and deep loss. And God is using that, if you'll let him, to carry you through and bless all of the people around you. Jesus did not let his grief stop him from ministering to others. He didn't shut down. He didn't retreat further into himself or become indifferent to the suffering around him. Instead, he does the opposite. His sorrow becomes the very thing that fuels his compassion for others. It's the fuel. He meets their physical needs, heals their diseases, and shows them God's love. What is your loss and grief fueling in your life? Is it the fuel for compassion to meet other people's needs? Compassion, it doesn't erase grief. It transforms it. Jesus' heart, heavy with this loss, is still open to others. He shows us that it's possible to mourn deeply and still have the capacity to serve. There's a beauty in all of this. Jesus demonstrates that even in our weakest moments, God can still work through us to meet the needs of those around us. I think that's what's so powerful. When you are weak, he is strong. We don't grieve like the world does. It's a powerful lesson for us today. How often do we feel like we need to be whole before we can serve others? And I want to submit to you that if you'll serve, wholeness is going to come through loving others and serving others. It's what Jesus modeled to us. How often do we think we have to have it all together before we can make a difference? Jesus shows us that in our brokenness, in our mourning, in our pain, that doesn't disqualify us for ministry. In fact, that can be the place where compassion is birthed and God's work continues. Point number three, there's another potential tension point that comes along. So Jesus would go, there'd be 5,000 people that would end up showing up in this moment where Jesus was mourning. They got there. He preached to them all day. I can't even imagine like what kind of energy drink he would have to have. Right. Hopefully none, because they're of the devil. All right. I'm kidding. All the energy drink people just hate me now. No, I'm kidding. I got to move on. All right. Anyways, he had to have been tired. He had to have been in mourning. 5,000 people show up and they're all hungry. Here comes another tension point. In some people's mind, they would have said, I just lost my best friend. Now I'm here and there's no food. God, where are you in all of this? The disciples said, man, we have no money to buy the food. The people were hungry. They had 5,000 people in this field. They were looking to Jesus. It was another tension point. And you know, I'll tell you what the enemy could have done at that point is see, God's not good. Look at what he did to John the Baptist. God got all these people here and there's no food. And not one moment did we see Jesus questioning God. He said, listen, we can feed them. God's going to do this. Jesus said in Matthew 14:16, that's not necessary. You feed them. Because the disciples were saying, well, do we go buy food or do we send them home? And Jesus is like, no, God's going to take care of it. There are miracles in your mourning. There are miracles when you will walk through it. Don't look at things as roadblocks. Look at things that God is going to push through if you'll allow him to do it in your life. In his grief, the solitude he desired, he could have easily dismissed that crowd and said, go home. But instead, he takes the little they have, 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and multiplies it to feed thousands. Guys, this is incredible when you think about it. It's one of the greatest miracles that we read about in the Bible. Have you ever connected the feeding of the 5,000 to Jesus' mourning and grief like that? Never. And in spite of all of that, Jesus said, okay, we're going to see a miracle. Guys, don't sit here and go, well, of course he's Jesus. No, he's 100% human and 100% God. So everything he was feeling in that moment could have clouded what happened with the feeding of the 5,000. It did not stop him. Jesus teaches that when we are in the gap between mourning and ministry, between our limitation and the needs of others, you can trust him to multiply your efforts. What we have placed in his hand becomes more than enough. Point number 4 is then we see the power of solitude and connection to God. Listen, you have to be connected to him. You have to be connected to God. We read about Jesus being so incredibly successful and being able to overcome things. It wasn't on his own power. It was because he was connected to God. Matthew 14:22-23. Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake. while he sent them home. After sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. There has got to be moments in our life where we have solitude and we have connection to God. And here's what I want to say about this. It's not only when we're walking through a crisis. We have a lot of people who are crisis prayers, who, listen, when they walk, they're not connected to God until all of a sudden they're in a crisis, and then they're praying like crazy. They're not, this Bible isn't dusted off until they're in the middle of a crisis. I want to tell you, if you'll stay connected to God and you'll be taking and you'll take that solitude, when the crisis comes, it's going to be completely different than these emergency prayers. Be ready. Be connected to God even when things are going good. Have that kind of desire to say, God, I want all that you have for me in the good times and in the bad. This moment of withdrawing for solitude is so crucial. It shows us that even the time of great ministry, even after serving others in compassion, Jesus still took time to reconnect with the Father. He needed time to grieve, to pray, to recharge, and to find strength. We've got to do that in our lives, friends. Listen, if you keep running just to avoid dealing with it, it's never going to be dealt with. Some of us, we need to get alone with God, and we need to give it to him and say, God, here it is, all of it. Here it is, my grieving, all of my hopes, all of my dreams, everything I'm walking through. Maybe you have experienced death in your life. God, I hand it over to you. And it was interesting in prayer this morning at 9 a.m., 9:15, which you're all invited to, somebody said that when you start talking about grieving and loss, walls start coming up in people's hearts. Will you ask the Lord to knock those walls down and trust him enough to bring healing? Ask him to get in, because here's what happens. When walls go up, you know they can become so tall they even keep God out. And we can't do this without him. We can't experience the loss and grief and walk through what God is calling us to do and have the victory to overcome like Jesus did unless we let God in. And I promise you, if the enemy has convinced you that God is not good, you need to go back and get a refresh with him. Because he'll do that. The enemy will go, well, how could you love a God that would do that? How could you love a God that would be, that would allow something so bad to happen? And the reality of it is God never allowed it. God never caused it. Death and what we experience, the loss, that's part of the sin nature that comes into this world. And he doesn't step in the way of free will. But I can tell you what, he's there for us when we need him the most. And if you'll let him in, some of us, we boxed him out. And I promise you, if you'll let him in on your grief and your loss, he's able to do incredible things. So Lord, right now, God, we come to you. Lord, it's such an in-depth topic to talk about. But Lord, I'm so grateful, Jesus, that you modeled what it looked like to work in the middle of the gap. Between mourning and ministry, God, between mourning and serving others, God. Lord, when we take our eyes off of our own situation, Father, it changes everything. Lord, I pray that this message would change us, God. That when we experience loss in this life, that we wouldn't retreat, but we'd keep moving forward. Lord, that we wouldn't look at what we don't have, but what you're giving us, God. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I just pray wholeness and healing over everyone in this room. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I've never given my life to Jesus. Maybe you've actually ran away from him because of the loss. Because the enemy convinced you that God's not good and he doesn't care. Maybe you knew Jesus. Maybe you had a relationship at one point, but you've ran away from him because of the hurt, the pain that you've experienced. Today, Jesus is saying, come back to me. I understand. And listen, he can handle what you're going to bring him. He can handle the pain. He can handle the loss. He can handle the grief. And he'll heal it with you together and help you to move forward. If you're here and you say, Pastor, I need Jesus. I'm away from him today. I need to give my life to Jesus. If that's you, would you just slip up a hand right now?
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.